We were saying last week that the Feast of the Ascension and Pentecost are really one feast that gets kind of spread out because we're human and we like to divide things into manageable ideas. But the Ascension and the sending of the Spirit happen at the same moment. And so these two feasts are the conclusion of the 90-day Paschal season from Ash Wednesday to today, Pentecost. And we often say here, St. Luke wrote two books, the Gospel to Theophilus, telling him how the eternal Son of God was present in Jesus of Nazareth. And then volume two, the Acts of the Apostles, tells Theophilus, the same listener, same reader, how that same Son of God is now present in the church. And so Ascension Pentecost is the transition from Jesus to the church, but it's the same Christ and it's the same Lord. And so this is a new creation in the Spirit. The first creation, God creates in 6 days and rests on the seventh, and that's a week. And Pentecost is a word that means 50. So it's 50 days. And in the Jewish calendar before Christ, they had a feast called Pentecost, and it was always celebrated 50 days after Passover. And that's where the word Pentecost comes from. But we've Christianized that. Now it's 50 days, not after Passover, but after Easter. Now, that Jewish Pentecost, that was a feast that they had to celebrate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And when the law was given through Moses on Mount Sinai, this flame of fire came down from heaven. And that was the Spirit, that was the creative Spirit. And there was a strong driving wind. And so we hear in the Gospel today that there's a strong driving wind and there are flames of fire over the disciples' heads. So fire and wind are signs of the Spirit. Ruach is a Hebrew word that means breath. It also means wind, and it also means Spirit. And so we hear all of those in the Gospel today. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, his breath. And this is a new creation, very similar to the first creation, in which the breath of the Spirit pushed out the word from the Father's mouth, and that word was Christ, and creation began to happen. And it evolved over these 14 billion some years. But with Pentecost, a second creation, a new creation of grace in the Spirit has been ushered in. And it's the foretaste and the promise of the eternal banquet in heaven. So 50 days is a week of weeks, 7 times 7 plus 1. So there's a week of weeks, creation upon creation upon creation. This is an ongoing reality. And we don't know that when the end of this world comes, that it won't be a continuing recreation. I mean, since God seems to be forever flowing out, will creation ever stop? Will there ever be stagnation, just resting and the sameness? It'll probably be ever new, won't it? It'll always be fashioned anew. But we live in that age of the Spirit where this new creation is more evident than it ever was before in human history. So there are several characteristics to this age of the Spirit called the church, which is now the body of Christ. The first one is peace. We hear Jesus in that Gospel today twice say, peace be with you. And this is the peace that the world cannot give. This is not the peace of armistice. This is not the peace of treaties, and not that those aren't important, but this is a different kind of peace. This is the peace that comes from Christ. And it's a peace that's paschal. It's a peace that is willing to lay down its life. It's costly. And it's a peace that doesn't wait for the other to make the first move, but it makes the first move. It's unilateral. It's not bilateral treaties. It's unilateral. It makes the first move. And that's a risky, vulnerable, dangerous place to go. And it's called the cross. Second characteristic of this age of the church, this age of the Spirit, is reconciliation. Jesus, after breathing the Holy Spirit on them, says, "Peace be with you. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." This, again, is costly. Reconciliation cost Jesus his life. "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." That reconciliation is paschal. And this is the paschal season we've been celebrating. And every preface all through the Easter season talks about living in paschal joy. And I love the irony of that. What's joyful about dying, you know? And yet somehow or other, we Christians celebrate the joy of dying. The freedom that comes from offering your life, the freedom that comes from making yourself vulnerable like Christ so you don't have anything to protect anymore. It doesn't make any difference what they do to you. You know you're going to live forever anyway, so it doesn't matter. There's an immense freedom and joy in that, but you have to be willing to make that step. So this reconciliation, it comes from God through Jesus. But Jesus is saying, you must reconcile with one another too. And we pray that prayer every day of our lives, the Our Father. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It's not just vertical, it's horizontal as well. And as far as I know, Christianity is the only world religion that talks so vibrantly about this horizontal reconciliation. Most of the religions talk about reconciliation from above, but Jesus is passing that on to us and saying, you're now responsible for that. I gave my blood on the cross for that. You have to give your blood, your life for that too. And so this is a reconciliation that doesn't wait for the other to say, I'm sorry. It forgives even before the penitent comes. And the sacrament of reconciliation is just the ritualization of what the church is in its nature. In its very nature, we are a reconciling community. And if we're not, then we're not being faithful to the gospel. We're not being faithful to our call to be the reconciling, healing body of Christ. And then thirdly, this is about the Spirit. And in the gospel again, Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is present in the church. The Spirit confects the church. The agency of the Spirit in our salvation is to join us to Christ. And so in the Mass, we have those two invocations of the Holy Spirit. The first one over the bread and wine, to confect the Eucharist, to transform this simple bread and wine into the very body and blood of Christ. And then there's a second invocation over the assembly so that we would be transformed into the body of Christ. So the Eucharist confects the church. This new creation begins for us in our baptism, the breath of the Spirit that transforms us into Christ, but it is renewed constantly in the Eucharist, and the church would not exist without the Eucharist. The Eucharist confects the church in the same way that it confects the sacred elements of bread and wine. We would not be church if it weren't for the Spirit. We would not be heirs to the kingdom without the Spirit. We would not be that body of Christ that lives in the hope of eternal life without that breath of the Spirit. And today, on the Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate that in a particular way.